I appreciate very much Mr. Chance's message and the idea of knowledge and has to go beyond knowledge. But some people do have a talent to be able to recall things very well. Not something that I have. I can't even pretend like, oh, I've got engineering behind my brain. Nope, I don't have that either. But I would like to test your memory today. So I'm going to throw out some clues. Now, if you were in Cleveland last week, you don't get to play. I'm going to throw out some clues, and I'd like for you to see if you can come up with this name. It's five letters long. And it starts with a J. But it's not in the New Testament. So that's the number one answer. Scratch it out. Okay, it's Old Testament. I tried to find how many J names are in the Old Testament by searching on the internet. Came up with about 17, 15 of those being names. So let's try to narrow it down. This individual did not have a name change that we know of. Okay, so that scratches out at least one more. And this person was listed under the sons of Judah. So that might scratch off a couple more. The individual I'm talking about is found in 1 Chronicles. I'd like you to turn there with me now. Now, I would not take up trying to memorize the Bible because my brain doesn't work that way. However, having a knowledge of God is very good, and we should pursue that knowledge. Understanding is important. However, it surprises me. It just surprises me that even though I have taken in this content before, more than once, I mean, many of us have been reading the Bible since we were young, I have absolutely no recollection of this story when I read over it. Have you ever had that happen? This isn't surprising. And when we've read these scriptures multiple times, and we have no idea this was in there. So this story popped out of me. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it's not really a story. It's two scriptures long. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. Now Jabez, that was the one. Who had Jabez? Anybody? All right, we had one. Very good. That's impressive to me. I didn't think we would. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, I read this recently, and I was shocked to not recall this at all. Why is this little thing in the Bible? Well, there's a lot of truth, a lot of fruit that God has for us in the Bible if we'll go to it and dig it out. He says to seek it like treasure. And so we have to be treasure seekers going through, mining through. And this is found within a bunch of genealogies, which is really boring reading, unless maybe you were in there. Then you'd say, oh, I'm excited about reading this. Most of us aren't. These people were pretty old and a long time ago. So Jabez here, if we comb through the scriptures backwards and forwards, he's not listed. He's not listed in these genealogies, so we don't really know where he fits except for some of the subtitles. My Bible says that these were sons of Judah. Okay, so somewhere in there. There's only one other time where Jabez is mentioned in the Bible, and it's actually a place. And it's earlier. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. So we really don't know this person at all. And some people suggest, in fact, I believe our commentary online suggests that the name of the place of Jabez may be a fulfillment of the request that we read from Jabez by God. But to me, that feels a little out of order since it happened ahead of time. Anyways, why? Why is this mentioned? Well, at that time, maybe Jabez was really well known. So the person that was authoring this said, oh, we got to put in a note on Jabez. He was a great guy. What happened? What did he say? We don't know. We don't know. Maybe that's why he was included. Maybe it's just because this was such a unique request at the time. As we know, the times of the kings and the judges, as we were talking before, they weren't a time of Israel's faithfulness. Usually it was their unfaithfulness, and God had to go through this continuous cycle of reminding them, of punishing them, and bringing them back. And it's kind of, sometimes it's kind of depressing going through. So maybe it was unique enough, they said, hey, he's asking about God, we should put this in the scripture. Maybe it's just to provide us a good example. We don't really know, but there are some things that we can take from the scripture that are helpful for us, and they actually parallel principles of deeper understanding that Jesus Christ put into the Gospels, a deeper dive into just the words that are on the page. So let's look at it a little bit more closely together. Jabez, verse 9, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez, because I bore him in pain. Now, in my margin, it says, literally, he will cause pain. So that's what his name meant. He will cause pain or sorrowful. That's quite a name to name your son. If you were named sorrowful or you're going to cause pain, you'd probably say, thanks, Mom, for that. I don't know if you guys remember, there's a song by Johnny Cash called A Boy Named Sue. And he wasn't very grateful that he was called Sue, and it's goofy, but here this man is called Jabez, painful. Now, maybe if you were a fighter, you would think, oh yeah, I'm going to bring the pain, that's a cool name. But that's not the context that we're reading here. He did not like that this was his name. In fact, he might have had a little bit of a fear from this. In verse 10, we read, he didn't want to fulfill his name's meaning. He didn't want to be the bringer of pain. But despite the name, or maybe because of it, just like the song, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. There's something about him that stood out. There's a distinction made here. He was one of the better guys. And so who were his brothers? We don't really know. But this one was worth writing about. This one was worth remembering. Verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So once again, he didn't want to fulfill his name's meaning. Now, depending on your translation, you're going to get a little bit different feel for this verse. In the New King James Version, you kind of get the sense that he didn't want to cause other people harm. But in some of the other translations, it seems that what he's suggesting is, I don't want to experience pain myself. We don't really know because we can't just call him up and ask him, well, how do you mean this? Regardless of how he meant it, God heard. That's a very important note in the scripture, that God heard his prayer. God answered it favorably. And that alone should cause us to pause. Because we all want God to hear us. We want to have a relationship with him. And we do call to him in times where we struggle or are having hard times. So why? Why did God hear Jabez? We're going to take this in little pieces. So I'm going to repeat a portion of the scripture, and then we're going to look at that. So starting at the top of verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel. This was an obvious display of faith. And it probably goes a long way to why Jabez was called more honorable, because he went to God. And this seems like it should be the obvious and the first thing that we do. But I'll confess to you, and maybe you have your own stories, that there are times in my life where something happens and my first thought isn't call on God. It might be to react this way or that way. But Jabez, he called on God. And this is a good example for us. And it's not just any faith that Jabez had. There's an identity attached to this that's important. It's important to God, and he shows us many examples in the scripture. He called on the God, the Elohim of Israel. That God, that being, the one identified as the YHVH. There are different times where we clearly see that in Scripture. One example is in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Moses is with Aaron, and they're before Pharaoh, and it addresses, who is the God of Israel? Yahweh, the Eternal, that being. It's specific, because we know that there were pagan gods that were out there. We know that there are other beings or other idols, other thoughts that people would bow down to. God is clearly identified here by Jabez. It's this God. And we know that he wants us to have a close relationship with him and to know it's personal. It's not ambiguous, our relationship with God, but we call to him knowing who he is. We spend time with him. And so when we call on his name, it is personal. That's something that started long ago. Mankind started to call to him long ago. We see that with Abram, that he called to the God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, I'm just going to read this scripture. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must, and now we have two conditions listed, must believe that he is, that's one, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he must believe he is and that he's a rewarder. In Jabez's prayer, he clearly was the first. He at least believed that he was. And probably, with him being called honorable, it suggests that he also fulfilled that second part. He believed that God was a rewarder of those who sought him. He was seeking God. So now let's look at that prayer. After understanding that he truly was seeking out to the right God, he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, we can't tell without reading the Hebrew, but the Hebrew is repeated here twice. Bless here. It says, bless, bless. Now, when that happens in the Hebrew, there is a multiplying or an emphasizing effect. We'll look at a couple examples, and we're going to turn back here, but in Deuteronomy 15, verse 4, we'll read one example. Same word, two blesses in a row. Deuteronomy 15, verse 4 says, except when there be no poor among you, for the Eternal will greatly bless you. So again, in Hebrew there you have a bless, bless. Greatly bless you. In Numbers 23:11, I'm not going to turn to that one, but that's an account of Balak complaining against Balaam, saying, you're supposed to curse these people, and instead you have blessed them bountifully. In that example, you also have a bless, bless. So we see here, it's not just that Jabez was asking, please bless me, but it was an emphasis. Bless me greatly. Indeed, bless me. He was asking for something big. Or maybe it was just something big in his mind. Because what is so big for us to ask God? What requests can we bring to him that he's going to say, oh, I don't know. That's a hard one. There's some jokes along that line, but I won't go through those. Jabez asked for something that meant something significant to him. It was something that would mean a lot personally to him. God wants those questions from us. God wants us to take these big things to him because he wants to build that relationship with us. He wants to prove himself to us, and he loves his children. As we know, we as parents, we want to give our kids and grandkids good things. We want them to have those. In Matthew chapter 7, let's turn there. We'll come right back here. Matthew chapter 7, God is encouraging his disciples here to go to God. Matthew 7, we'll read verses 7 through 11. He teaches them, ask. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God says, go ask for those good things. Jabez, he went and he asked for those good things, and it felt like a big thing. It meant a lot to him. But God wants those questions from us. He wants to hear. He wants to have that personal request brought to us. So back to Jabez's prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And he says here next, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Now, is it wrong to ask God for personal blessings? Blessings that might benefit us as an individual? No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. Now, some people read this and they say, perhaps God was asking for an enhancement of his own mental or spiritual capacity. Enlarge my territories, being help me to be a better person. Well, maybe. But in the culture of the time he was in, this would be something that was normal and on the minds. If you have a large family or a growing family, sometimes it's nice to have an enlarged territory. It doesn't say that Jabez is asking evil on anyone else. He's not saying, you know, move the yard marker so I have more space and my neighbor will have less. Or cause something bad to happen to them so that I can have more. It doesn't indicate that. He's asking for a personal blessing here. And God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer and asked for when he asked for this thing. I can tell you personal example. When we lived in Southern Illinois, my wife and I, relatively newly married, were able to buy a home in a tough market, and were newly pregnant. And the house had one bathroom, and that was, it was no problem. And over more than a decade, suddenly the house had five individuals and one bathroom. And it still worked. But when we moved to Ohio and our territories were enlarged a little bit and we had more than one bathroom, that's really nice. It's a personal thing that we thank God for when we get home from church or whatever and we don't have to get a line going. It's a little nice blessing. Our territory is enlarged in that way. We have examples in the scripture. I don't think I'm going to turn to, but in Exodus 34 is an example. Right after the golden calf incident, God continues to talk to Moses and through him to the people of Israel, explain to them what things are going to take place, explaining to them how they should be and what they should do. And in verse 24, he states specifically that he would enlarge their territories. The reason I bring this up is because Jabez asked specifically that God would enlarge his territories. It's possible, we don't know because we can't ask him, but it's possible he was asking God to fulfill a promise that God had already made. We see other examples of that in Scripture. We see David when he's praying to God and God gives him a direct answer and David says, let it be as you say. Or the prayers or the Psalms that we read where we're trying to ask God to fulfill something he's already said he would do. An understanding that we are in touch with God because we know what he said. It's possible Jabez knew what God said. Remember, these people knew who they were. The genealogies that this is squished in between shows the records and the details that were kept. The people knew who they were. And it's likely they remembered the promises that God gave. When we recognize something God has promised and we ask Him to fulfill it, it shows God we're with the program. We know what's going on because we took the time to go there and read it, even if we didn't remember it all. We're with the program. Now, getting back to the whole idea of enlarging my territory, or what Jabez was asking, we have an example in Scripture where people did that. We had Lot and Abraham. They got bigger and bigger, and their crew was too big. They needed to enlarge the territory for peace's sake. And so they actually split. So sometimes enlarging territory is a good thing, and it may be personal. But Jabez asked for it, and we know that God heard his prayer. So far we've seen that Jabez asked for big things. Don't be afraid to ask for big things, and he asked to enlarge his territory. The next thing he says is that your hand would be with me. That your hand would be with me. Now, maybe when this statement is isolated, you have some scriptures that pop to your mind, some rather famous scriptures. One might be Philippians 4:13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Noting that relationship and that confidence in God. That one's still fairly popular. We see that sometimes posted in different places. One notable place where God talks about his hand being with Israel is in Deuteronomy. When he's going through the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5, and he talks about the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, and he talks about his hand leading Israel out of Egypt. It shows that personal relationship. And even though Israel was stiff-necked, once again, they knew their history. David knew about the personal relationship that God and Israel had between them. It was personal for him as an individual, but also the congregation. We were at Psalm 23, but in that, if we were to look at that psalm, we would see that closeness that David talked about. How close to God, that personal relationship, so close that the hand of God is with you. Jabez asks for that. Be with me, God. And that's an indication that Jabez valued what God thought about things. Because in a relationship, when you want somebody to be with you and near you, that shows an indication you want to know what they think. Because we're going to be spending time together. We're going to be talking. I want you to be there with me. Why? Because I want to know you better. I value what you say. So when you're in that close of proximity, you want to get to know you what you value them. Jabez valued what God thought. Also, Jabez viewed himself small and needing help. If he's calling God, that his hand would be with him. It's like the prayer of Solomon where he said, this is a big people and I need your help. Who am I that I can do this? I need you, God. And we relate to this too when we consider our lives and we think about, well, where does my success come from? How can I walk this path and survive or thrive and do well? Well, it's with God's help, right? If we feel content and good and, no, I don't need it, I'm good. Unfortunately, the reflection is that of a church that was empty. Laodicea, God says, you are wretched, poor, blind, miserable, naked. Because they thought they were fine. Jabez didn't. Jabez wanted God to be with him. I need you there with me. The next thing Jabez says is that you would keep me from evil. That you would keep me from evil. Now, the word evil in Hebrew is used many times in Scripture, more than 600. It can be used in a couple different ways. The definition of this word in Hebrew is ra. It's got the kind of the roll your tongue thing. I don't do a great ra or ra'ah. And that's meant or translated as evil more than 400 times, so that's two-thirds. And then a derivative of bad more than 200 times, 207 times. So if we're thinking of evil, keep me from evil, and I think that's a good translation for it, he could be saying, keep me from doing evil. Seems like a possibility. He might be saying, keep me from evil beings. We know that there's a devil out there. He could be saying, just in general, keep me from harm, keep me from bad, keep me from wickedness. We don't know exactly how he meant it. But we do see wisdom in this. He's praying for protection. That's a wise thing to do. And if he's speaking of evil beings, then it's good that he knows his enemy. Jesus Christ reminded us at different times that the evil one is out there. We should pray about it. And he himself prayed about it. In John chapter 17, when he was praying to the Father, I'll just read you a portion. Verse 15, he said, I do not pray that you, speaking to the Father, should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. It's good to know what's out there. Jabez said that you would keep me from evil. Finally, keep me from evil so that I may not cause or feel pain. Again, depending on how did he mean this last sentence? In the New King James, maybe it was considering others. And that's a good way to think about it, where you don't want to cause harm to others. In fact, that's something the teens are going to talk about next week a little bit. Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's quite a scripture. Christ summarized the law and the prophets in one concise thing, and he's the authority. So if Jabez was truly concerned with not hurting others, what a loving prayer that he offered. That's a good example. That's a very good example. However, if he was concerned about himself, we should know it's not wrong to want to avoid pain and suffering. God built nerves into us to help us, not because he said, I want to see you fry or experience this. No, we don't want to have pain, but we're going to. We're going to have pain. We're going to have trials. But like Paul said when he's talking to the Corinthians, all the things that happen to you are what's common to man. We're going to experience normal things and have the highs and lows of life. That is normal. You know who won't suffer pain? Those beyond Revelation 21:4. When God says the former things have passed. So there is a time where we look forward to where we won't suffer pain anymore. That'll be glorious. That'll be wonderful. But until then, it's around us. Well, do we want to suffer any more than we have to? Of course not. Now, there are some natural things we can identify that we know bring pain into our lives, like sin. Sin has consequences. We know that. We see it on personal levels. We also see it on national levels. We see it in our country. They saw it in their country. We have so many examples we can go through in the judges, in the kings, and see that, yes, it has consequences. Who can keep us from those things? God can. God can keep us from doing evil. He can keep us from that extension that comes with sin, the pain, the consequence. Now, when we are suffering pain, we pray for God's will. But then we also ask, please spare me the pain. And that's not wrong. It's not wrong to ask that. And then we trust God. So Jabez asked for many good things. If we're going to break down some of those things to remind her, this is a way we could. I have five different points that we could remember from his prayer, and you probably could put this up into different formats. But number one, don't be timid. Don't be timid in your prayers. Jabez has asked for big blessings, something that meant a lot to him. Hebrews 4:16 says, we come boldly to the throne of grace. And in that particular moment, it's because we need to ask for forgiveness. That's asking a lot sometimes. Will you forgive me again? But we come boldly to God, and this also can apply to what we ask for him on a regular basis. As Christ told the disciples, go to him. He wants you to go and ask and seek and knock. That's what God desires. In fact, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at a couple places here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. I probably could just summarize this, but in Matthew 9, we have an example of Jesus Christ being there with sinners. Okay? Matthew 9, verse 10. So it was as Jesus sat at the table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Just a little bit further down, Jesus starts heading to a place where he's going to help somebody who had a daughter that died. So can you resurrect him? And well, I can do that. So he heads that way. Verse 20, suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she was made well. The reason I read this here at this point is just an example of what Christ did when he was here on earth. Besides the fulfillment of being our Savior, he made himself available. He was available. He sat down and had meal with all those people that came up that the Pharisees, oh, they're sinners. He's walking through the crowd and this woman just touched his clothes. She had that faith. He was there so that she could touch him. Jesus made himself available. Well, what about God the Father? He is available for us to go before him and ask these things. It's not too big for him to answer. If you think of a father that's busy at work, who better to interrupt him than a little child saying, Daddy? I know that I would answer. So what about God? He wants us to come before him, and he's available. So don't be timid in your prayers. Two is consider your needs. This can be big picture. This can be details. Consider your needs. Let's turn back a couple chapters to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And what I'd like to consider is that this is meant to be personal. What are your needs personally, as an individual? Matthew chapter 6, again teaching his disciples, he says in verse 5, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We know that Jabez was rewarded. He heard his prayer, his personal prayer. Verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So we don't go before him with a prayer that we said 1,000 times in the exact same ways. We don't have to take to him, please give me supper today, give me lunch, give me breakfast. He knows those things. pray to him in detail. Pray to him for your needs that you personally need. He's real and he sees and he understands, so we can pour our hearts out to him. He desires for us to be personal in our prayers. And yes, he does say in verse 11 here, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." He wants us to remember here that we need spiritual food daily. What are those things you're struggling with? Pray and ask God for that, and then go to his word. Even though you've read it and you know it, maybe not memorized it, things can jump out of nowhere that you maybe didn't even remember. So go to him. And then in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We need forgiveness. This is something that we need, and this is something that is personal, because we often don't share those things with everybody that, boy, we need help with. But we share it with God, because he can help. He wants to help, and he wants us to get to that finish line. So consider your needs when you go to God. Number three is ask to be with him regularly. And then the follow-up to that is then follow him. God doesn't stand in one place. He moves forward. In verse 13, it starts, "Do not lead us into temptation." The idea of leading means he's there. His presence is there. We want to be where he is, so ask to be with God. Just like Jabez said, "That your hand be with me." Number four is ask for protection. That requires an understanding of the environment that we're in. Know the climate. Watch, God said. Are we watching? If we're not, we're like the frog in the pot as the temperature gets hotter in that water, not even realizing what's going on. But we got to watch. Know where we are. "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jabez said, "Keep me from evil." Do we know our environment? Paul said, "We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers." That's where we are too. It's not just individuals. So we need to ask for protection. And just like Jabez, number five, we really do want to be personal. Jabez asked for help due to his name. How many Jabezes do you know? I barely know that one. I forgot him. He was unique. He asked for his name. We are all unique as individuals. We all have been given gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, unique, so that we can contribute and be part of a body. Ephesians 4, that we work together. So when you're talking to God, be personal, understanding you are your own unique, beautiful stone that God is shaping to be in his temple. So to conclude, will you remember the name of Jabez? Will I remember it? Probably not. My memory just doesn't work like that. I'll probably read this again next year and be like, "Yeah, you said that already. Move on." But he's a good example. He was put there that we can draw principles in that will be helpful to us. In fact, his prayer paralleled a lot of what Jesus Christ himself taught in the Gospels on how to pray and how to have that personal relationship with God. Because we do want to stay close to him on this path and talk to him, and he will hear you.